Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You own 12 properties currently.
14 since the last time we spoke.
Oh, say it louder.
Excuse me. So you own 14 properties for how many millions of dollars?
I just picked up a property for $650,000. I turned around, pulled $1 million out of it, so I'm positive $350,000 that I could deposit into something else, whether it's stock, crypto, equity, another property that's making me more than $3,000 a month, and I still have $1 million in equity lined up.
This be my rants and gems. This be my rants and gems. Y'all can do it, we discover her. He's still the kings and the queens, word of mother lie.
I'm super excited for this episode. We got, one of the dopest investors coming out of New York. He owns half of New York, probably. Mr. Jude Bernard, how are you today, sir?
What's good, family? Happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Keanu, for having me.
Of course. We're happy to have you.
No doubt. We're happy to have you here. So let's get right into it. Let's dig into the meat and potatoes of your operation. You own 12 properties currently.
14 since the last time we spoke.
Oh, say it louder.
Excuse me. So you own 14 properties for how many millions of dollars? Because last time it was 12 for 25 million.
I got about 30 in equity right about now.
$30 million in equity.
Yeah.
All here in New York. And they say you can't invest in New York.
They lied.
How are you doing it?
I'm cherry picking.
Okay.
I'm taking my time to really find these deals, and I'm not settling. You know, I wait for my pitch. I've been in this game for 25 years now, and I still don't have a business card. I still don't have a website. You know, everything that I do is through relationships.
You want to clear that up?
Let us know what's going on, really.
Yeah, that's how I get my deal. Nah, but everything I do is through relationships. So basically what I've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years is I wait for those big number deals. And they're few and far between, but when they come, you know? So whether it's the phone call that I get, oh, my aunt is losing this house, she needs X amount of dollars next week or else she's gonna lose everything, I jump in. Mm-hmm. Whether it's an attorney that calls me and tells me, hey, I was at a closing today and it didn't close, if you could close tomorrow, jump in. You know, so those are the sweet spots that I sit and I wait for. Because if I'm out there trying to chase listings and get into bidding wars, that's, you don't make no money that way, you know? And one of the things that I also learned in this game is, as I said earlier, I was waiting for your pitch. Sometimes you got to say no to that $500,000 deals, $750,000 deals, and wait for that $2 million deal to come.
Whew. Mm. You know? That's a gem.
You know? Mm.
Like, it's...
all money ain't good money.
Like, yeah.
Nah. Sometimes it's a waste of time. Mm. You know? Like, if you tie up your capital, if you tie up your time and your cash on a deal that is not going to maximize, and then the right deal comes along and you, all your assets is caught up, you done blew money.
Facts.
Right.
You know?
Facts. All money ain't good money.
Facts. So,
you don't want to waste your time or your money.
Nah, not at all.
So you got $30 million of equity in these deals. Are they cash flowing?
Some of them are. Some of them are. I do a lot of deals where I have enough of a positive cash flow that I could have a property that is negative $1,000, negative $1,500, maybe even negative $3,000. But I know for a fact that between debt reduction from the mortgage, between the equity that I picked it up at, mm-hmm. between the tax benefits, even though I might be down $2,500 a month, but this one particular property might be making me $200,000 towards my net worth. So it's just like I don't look at properties as individual. I look at to see how they fit into my portfolio. Mm. You know, so I might take a property that isn't cash flowing positively, but case in point, I just picked it up for $650,000. Nobody's paying rent in it. I turned around and pulled $1 million out of it. So I'm positive $350,000. And even though I am paying $3,000 on a property that's not giving me anything, I have $350,000 that I could deposit into something else, whether it's stock, crypto, equity, another property that's making me more than $3,000 a month, and I still have $1 million in equity lined up.
Damn, how did you pull $1 million out?
See, that's... Go ahead. that's the first... No, same question.
Well, the property is valued at $2 million. Right, I picked it up for $650,000. I went to my hard money lender, and he gave and like before I even acquired the property, I went to my hard money lender and I told him, hey, I got this property. It's valued at $2 million. How much will you lend me on it? He said, I'll give you half of what it's worth. You know, so and I made sure that I acquired it in cash because sometimes hard money lenders they only want to lend you half of what you're buying it for. But since I acquired it, he went by the value, the actual value.
Not acquisition.
Not the acquisition cost. So I ended up walking out of that deal with $350,000 in cash, non-paying tenants, $1 million in equity. And luckily for me, the market is at an all-time low right now. So I picked up some Amazon for $2,100.
Oh, okay.
I picked up some Cardano for 60 cents. I picked up some Matic, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even though I'm losing money on the property, overall, my financial picture is still winning on this.
Absolutely.
So what you do is you're like, listen, this is an opportunity, and although this doesn't appear to be an opportunity, I'm going to take this cash flow, take this money, and put it somewhere else that will be an opportunity.
Exactly.
So oftentimes, we just got to learn to balance.
Not only balance, but you also have to work on your optics, the way you look at things. You know, like so many times, people pass up on opportunities because they're focused on the negative. You know, they see non-paying tenants. They see this, negative cash flow. You know, like if you focus on the negative, all you're gonna do is talk yourself out of stuff.
Correct.
So, like, focus on the upside. Focus on the big picture, and make sure that you have, you know, like, as we were just singing along, you know, not strictly for livemen, not for freshmen.
Not for freshmen.
You know, like make sure you have a portfolio. Make sure you have, whether it's whether you have cash flow coming from your properties, your other business, whether you have business credit or whatever it may be, make sure that you're in a position that you can sustain. You know, like you could sustain, you could play the game for the long haul. Mm. And don't over leverage.
That part.
Exactly.
So you never over leverage. Have you ever over leveraged in your career? And yeah, if so, tell us how that happened.
It's called 2008.
That's always a good lesson to go back to.
Yeah, it's called 2008. You know, one of the biggest things, like I'm on social media a lot where I just watch, right? And whether it's the stock guys, whether it's the real estate guys, whether it's the crypto guys, everybody can sing and give themselves praise when the market is going up, and they like, oh yeah, I'm making money, I'm so smart, right? But the true test is, how do you stand up? How do you stand up when things go the other way? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. that's when it really matters. And I'm gonna keep it real. Like, I got my ass handed to me back in 2008 because I was super over leveraged. My whole portfolio was based on appreciation and speculation, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't do that. But now I have a mix now where I'm only 65% of my portfolio is stable rent. You know what I'm saying? Positive cash flowing rent properties, and 35% I do it for either equity or mm-hmm. or appreciation or speculation. You know, mm-hmm. so it's just like you can't back to the baseball waiting for your pitch. You can't try to hit a grand slam every time. You know what I'm saying? So one of the things that's super important is that you have to factor in that one day things are going to go bad.
And that's something that I think that we're all kind of looking at the market for. The interest rates are up. Inventory is low. Mm-hmm. And you are diversifying. I see you saying, I took some money from real estate and I put it into stocks. And what we always talk about is stock, crypto, and real estate. It's never just real estate, right? Mm-hmm. So for you, what do you see happening in this market as you are navigating and you're seeing some of the signs since you went through a market downturn before? But I know it was different, but what do you feel like is going to happen now?
Well, funny enough, June 15th is a big day in New York City. Excuse me, New York State, is because the tax abatement are expiring on June 15th, mm. right? So tax abatements are expiring. Also, so if people aren't getting tax abatements, interest rates are going up. Tax abatements expiring, interest rates are going up. The price of wood, I paid $12 for one piece of 2x4 this morning. Yeah. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So the price of materials is up, right? So that is telling me that people will not be building. People will not be building.
In New York.
In New York City, in mm-hmm. New York anytime soon, right? So that's going to make the rents go up, you know, because the rental inventory is not going to go up. The rental inventory is going to be scarce. So, of course, supply and demand. So that's on the rental side of things. Mm-hmm. On the luxury side of things, for a person like myself who buys high-end properties, I don't foresee the 2 million and above market being affected as much as, you know, like the $750,000 yes. market.
Yeah.
Because the people, truth be told, the people who are buying $2-4 million properties, they're not mortgaged.
It's cash.
It's cash. It's
trust.
It's trust and stuff like that. So I do see prices dropping on the the $500,000-$400,000
Middle America. So you think that's nationwide, or you just speaking specifically about New York?
I could only speak about New York. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna
facts.
I can't talk about what I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I would assume, and you know what they say when you make a
right.
I would assume that things should not be that much different around the country. You know, so It's just like you got to prepare, and you got to watch what's going on.
So you think even with everything you just mentioned, supplies are expensive, materials going up. There's no housing in New York. I mean, all the houses in New York is old, right? Mm-hmm. They're not really building a lot here like they build in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, build in Georgia. You know, when they build here, it's more skyscrapers, mm-hmm. it's more condo towers, things of that nature. So you think with the limited amount of supply that we have, you think prices will go down in New York?
Not significantly.
Okay.
Not significantly.
More of a correction.
And at the end of the day, if you look back to 1942 to present day, what is it, 2% annually?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, some years is up 8%, some years is down 6%, up 10%, down 4%. But nonetheless, it's 2% and 2%, it averages out to 2% annually, right? So what that tells me is, as long as you're not speculating and you're in for the long haul, it really doesn't matter if you buy the house. If you buy the house for $100,000, $110,000, or $115,000, as long as you know 10 years from now it's going to be worth $150,000, $200,000. So you can't time the market. You know, like if your sole goal is to buy at the bottom and sell at the top, you know what I'm saying? That's rolling CeeLo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely rolling CeeLo. Yeah.
But if you're
you do it all without breaking a sweat, and you do it all in style. From being a boss exec to getting the kids ready for school, checking homework, family dinners, lunches and brunches with your day ones, trips to the salon, and weekend getaways are anything but a getaway. That's why Infiniti fully reimagined the QX60 to help you conquer it all with ease. A luxury SUV as functional as it is stylish, and as versatile as it is serene. Even when you have back-to-back conference calls on top of the kids' basketball practices, not to mention your side hustles, it's all done with grace. The all-new Infiniti QX60 has available features like seating for up to 7 passengers, a suite of active safety features, and massaging front seats. It's the SUV designed to help you conquer life in style. Now with extremely limited availability, contact your local retailer for inventory information.
Is, all right, I'm going to buy this property for X amount of dollars, and I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to hold on to it for 10, 15, 20 years. You're going to win every time.
Of course.
On this Sunday, I'm having an open house on the property that I bought in 2002. You know, the very first brownstone I bought in Brooklyn.
Wow.
I'm selling that. And because I purchased it for $400,000, and I'm selling it for upwards of $3 million.
I got to see this.
Wow.
I'm not going to be here on Sunday, but I have to see this property.
But the funny thing about it is, this place hasn't had a paint job since I renovated it back in 2002.
Damn.
Wow.
You know? But, you know, the appreciation, the neighborhood, the gentrification, all this.
Bed-Stuy?
Nah, Clinton Hills.
Clinton Hills, okay.
So that's just, you know, I had some of my boys who bought on that block. They bought for $400,000, and they thought they G'd off like in 2007 for $750,000, you know? But they played a short game. You know, like if you play the long game, you're going to win every time.
20 years.
Exactly.
20 years. About to make a couple M's.
Exactly.
Real quick.
And the thing that people don't realize, people think when I say that I purchased it for $400,000 and I'm selling it for what do you call it? $3 million. They're probably thinking, he's getting eight times return. He's flipping his money eight times. That's not even true, because I got in for $40,000. So I really turned 40,000. It was a 10% down.
Mm.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think about 65X'd.
That's what I'm about to say. You,
yeah.
You're almost 50, 65X'd there.
But it's the long term. But
it's the long play.
So what I'm hearing from you is real estate is not, like, we hear about the flips. Flip the house, get the money, keep going. You're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And can you talk more about it? Because we hear so many people, like, they're flipping property. And we've had sidebar conversations, but you're like, I do luxury. Because, and why do you do luxury? And why would you encourage people, once they kind of get their feel of the market, to go into that luxury market to buy and hold and flip?
one of the things is it's not as competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody and their mama got $1 million in you know, to buy real estate in New York City. Right. But once you start talking about, oh, I'm buying it for $2 million and I'm putting $1 million into it. It's a different ball game. It's
strictly for live men.
Yeah. And it's less competitive, much less competitive. But, you know, if that $800,000 condo, there's a line around the corner of people who want to buy and run up the price, you know, but that $2.5 million shell. You know, a shell, you know, no plumbing or nothing, that you have to dump another $1.5 million, $1.25 million, so you could probably make another $1.5 million. It's less competitive. And plus, you know, you on the tax side, you're going to expense the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to expense the hell out of it. So expensing that one property will probably wipe away all your income for the year. Mm. On that one property that you fixing that year. You know what I'm saying? So let's say I have a portfolio that brings me $100,000 a month. So that's $1.2 million in income. But now I'm doing this luxury flip where I've just spent $1 million+ renovating. After I expense that, how much did I make for the year?
$200K.
Probably less than that,
yeah.
Exactly. And that's before depreciation. That's before all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and you still have property management fees,
yeah,
broker fees, all that good stuff. Well, you're the broker too.
Exactly. I'm the broker. Yo, you know,
that's how you trim the flat. That's how you wait a second. I can't advocate that. But being the broker and the owner, of course, has its advantage.
Yo, you know the funny joint? I was waiting for you guys to and the MLS number this so I have my cheat cards because I had my
we're gonna get to that
I don't know my judge by heart, so I was gonna play it off and just kind of look at it, but
I love it.
Yeah, so it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep, and it's how well you live. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I'd rather keep as much as possible. And have a good.
You do it all without breaking a sweat, and you do it all in style. From being a boss exec to getting the kids ready for school, checking homework, family dinners, lunches and brunches with your day ones, trips to the salon, and weekend getaways are anything but a getaway. That's why Infiniti fully reimagined the QX60 to help you conquer it all with ease. A luxury SUV as functional as it is stylish, and as versatile as it is serene. Even when you have back-to-back conference calls on top of the kids' basketball practices, not to mention your side hustles, it's all done with grace. The all-new Infiniti QX60 has available features like seating for up to 7 passengers, a suite of active safety features, and massaging front seats. It's the SUV designed to help you conquer life in style. Now with extremely limited availability, contact your local retailer for inventory information.
Lifestyle than to like make money just to give it away in taxes. I'm not telling people to cheat their taxes.
Of course not. We will never advocate taxes.
No.
Here at Rants and Gems.
But not
ever. I'm telling you to learn how taxes work and use it to your advantage.
It's a fact. How are you financing these deals?
A lot of the things that I acquire, I finance them either through hard money. Partnerships, syndications, you know, through friends and family, you know, just pooling resources.
Can you break down syndication for the folks out there who don't know what that is?
Okay. So a syndication deal is, let's say I'm picking up a townhouse or something for $3 or $4 million, right? So I will pool together people, and raise, let's say, a $1.5 million. So 25% to put down and another $500,000 to get the project started. So so now they have a limited partnership in the building for X amount of time. So when the property is up and running, once I get it up and running and I refinance, I cash out. I pay them what I promised them, and I'm stuck with the rest. It's mine for the long haul.
So your refi, your cash out refi pays off the investors, pays back their investment, which you promised, they ROI, and now kick rocks.
Not kick rocks.
I'll call you on the next deal, basically. Great doing business with you. Like, you got your money back plus your return.
I'm like, kick rocks.
Exactly. So basically now, I've acquired this property. I'm now paying. It's now paying for itself. And I didn't have to come out of my pocket for it. You know. So it works out for everybody, because you know it's a better return than leaving it in the Facts. Bank and getting 0.02%,
getting nothing basically.
Exactly.
And how do you put it together? Like, okay, this is the returns and this is how I'm going to pay you back. Like, how do you put a deal together for someone that's like, listen, I might want to do syndication, I found a good deal?
You legalize it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You have a conversation with your attorney, and you tell him exactly what you want to do. He draws up the papers, and he, you know, gives it to your investors. They take that paper, take it to their attorney, mark it up XYZ. Depending on how much and who it is, you know, like sometimes depending on who you are and how much you're putting up, it's like, yo, this is the deal. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know, but if somebody's coming up and say, hey, I got a half a mil, I'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you make it work for them.
Yeah, I make it work for them. So it's just a matter of taking your time out to cultivate these relationships, to make sure that it's worth their while, and to make sure that you always over-deliver and under-promise. Again, I've been in this game for 25 years.
Yeah.
I've never lost anybody money, you know?
Oh, wow.
Thank God.
That's commendable.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I'll say right here, it's not that I've never lost money, but I've never lost anybody money in the sense that, there's been a project or two that didn't go the way that I wanted to, but I knew it would be better for me in the long run to just take the L and just front like everything went smooth and keep that relationship going, because this is a relationship business, you know?
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to hear a story.
No,
that's a fact. But I'm pretty sure you have some stories about the pitfalls of syndication. Can you give us a couple?
Yeah. First of all, there's always someone who doesn't understand what a limited partnership means. You know, a limited partnership means shut up and wait for your money.
Basically.
Wait a minute.
Basically.
Say it again.
You know, like I had this one guy one time. I pull up on the site and he's there with his family showing, this is our building and stuff like that, walking through my site. And I'm just like, yo, this is not how it works, you know?
Yeah.
And again, sometimes people get a little overzealous and they're feeling it and they're inspired and stuff like that. But that's one of the pitfalls of it. Second thing is that you have, you know, rain, sleet, hail, snow. You know,
yeah, like, the people gonna want their money, rain, sleet, hell, snow.
Exactly.
You ain't got the clientele. say hell no.
Exactly. So interest rates go up, if you pay me.
Yeah.
The price of lumber goes up, if you pay me. The market is taking too long to sell, if you pay me. The refi that you thought you was gonna get is not coming through in a timely manner, if you pay me. So that's the reality of it. And one of the things that I always do is I never borrow money unless I have the money. I never borrow money that I don't have lying around. So basically, as I said before, I might have some of my money in riskier investments that might bear fruit, but I'll only take money if I know that I could pay you back real quick.
Yes.
You know,
and that's how you continue to do good business, right?
Exactly.
And so is this, like, syndication is more like crowdfunding, right? We just kind of
fancy
a way to say it. It's all the same, right? You just kind of put your money in for the visionary. And once the visionary, you know, sells or whatever they do, then you get your money back. But you have no real stake in the business.
You do have a stake in the business because it's a limited partnership. There's an LLC, you know, and the LLC owns owns the property, but you have the exit strategy already built in. So you can pretty much buy people out at will.
Exactly. That's the part.
Exactly.
And this is all on your operating agreements, your contracts, exactly. The exit.
Exactly.
So you're laying out for all your investors A, B, and C, good, bad, and ugly, of what can and cannot happen during this deal, basically.
Of course, exactly.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. So what would be three steps you'll give somebody who's watching this, right? They may not have no capital, but they got the knowledge. They've been studying, they've been reading, maybe they've done a deal or two, or maybe not, right? And they want to get into crowdfunding syndication. What three things would you give them, three steps to get into the business?
First, have a solid underwriter to pretty much go through the deal to make sure that it is what the seller's representing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you gotta make sure that the occupancy rates are factual. You gotta make sure that the expenses are factual. You have to make sure that the potential upside is really what it is. Realtors will tell you that, oh yeah, you could get X amount of dollars on rent for this, you know, once it's all done.
Who, us? Oh, we would never. I don't know what type of realtors you talk about.
Not you, the other guy.
The other people.
Exactly. So make sure the numbers are real.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, make sure your financing is in place. Make sure that your financing is in place, and make sure that your exit financing is really, it can really happen. You know, a lot of times people go into the deal and then whether it's their building costs or their holding costs or whatever it is, now when they go for their refi, it just doesn't work out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm
market
saying?
Changes, market they didn't changes. Plan for the market change, yeah. Exactly. Et cetera. Yeah.
So gotta make sure that is, and lastly, your relationships. You know what I'm saying? You have to safeguard your relationships at all costs, you know, and just keep it 100 with people no matter what, despite anything. Make sure you stay true to what it is and what it isn't.
I love it.
Gems.
Super, super gems.
Because everybody wants to get into syndication and crowdfunding nowadays. And I think it's a great concept. Overall,
people
it just has
jammed,
to be done right.
People get
I,
jammed
I said,
up.
I said it has to be done right.
It has to be done right because a lot of people get jammed up and then they go online and talk about you.
Exactly.
They'll talk about you online quick.
And they won't stop.
And they won't stop. And it's
God forbid the Alphabet boys get involved, the SEC.
Oh, forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about it. Don't let them get involved. You don't want no problems with them boys. So look, you got $30 million.
In equity.
Not
don't come looking for me.
Not saying you got it in your pocket.
Come looking for me.
You got $30 million in equity, right? And now for the people who may be watching, it's like, damn, how did you even get started, right? What was your first deal like?
My first deal was a property that I bought in Southside Jamaica, Queens. Queens get the money. It was a two-unit property that I rented three units out of it. Statutes of limitations.
How do you make a two or three?
Welcome to New York, Kiana. Yeah,
exactly. Just come right down here. Don't bump your head on the basement.
Yeah, don't bump your head.
Statutes of limitations expired. You know what I'm saying? I acquired that, and then the building next door became available. So I pulled the refi out of that, and acquired that property all while living at my mama's house. So I was stacking my chips, going to work, you know, working on my delayed gratification. You know, like I was stacking my chips for years before I actually started to enjoy the fruits of my labor. A few years later, I actually bought a house for myself. This was an actual three-family where, you know, I rented one floor to a family, another floor to another family, and I actually, in my floor, I had roommates that I rented rooms out, all while having a job. So I did
house hacking.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, just gotta, sometimes you just gotta delay gratification, just, you know what I'm saying, put put your ego aside and just do what you got to do for the chips. And when I was able to stack some big chips, I just started doing bigger deals, you know, went from, you know, $50,000 deals to $75,000 deals to $150,000, $300,000, $600,000, and so forth over time. And the beauty behind real estate is that as your portfolio grows, it grows exponentially. Mm-hmm. So as I was saying earlier, 2% per annum. So, and it's 2% not on your equity, but what the value of your property is really worth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a property that's worth $500,000 and you owe $400,000 on it, if it goes up 2%, you know, that's $20,000 as opposed to $16,000 that you actually, you know,
that you actually have.
No, excuse me, as opposed to 2% on the $100,000.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a math play.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah.
The math be mathing.
The math. You got to make sure that the math maths.
Facts.
You know?
Facts.
So that's the real play, you know, just like that's how it really bubbles, because the bigger your portfolio gets, the greater the exponential growth is. You know what I'm saying? The greater the exponential growth is, the more that your debt goes down every month.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So like right now, as it stands right now, I do about $35,000 to $40,000 a month in debt repayment a year. Mm. Excuse me. I keep doing that. $30,000 to $40,000 a month
for your whole portfolio.
For my whole
that's
portfolio.
Not bad.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That's you amazing. Have an amazing portfolio.
So so that's pretty much $400,000 in debt that is reduced every year. So then on top of that, we have the 2%. The 2% that grows.
Appreciation.
Mm-hmm. So between that, you know, and so that's another, you know, another $600,000-$700,000 easily. You know what I'm saying? So that's $1 million in equity that I probably make most while I'm sleeping and not doing anything.
Yeah. Big gem.
That's a big gem.
Big gem. So look, you're making all this money in equity.
In
right?
Equity. Don't come get me.
You build up an amazing platform. But I want to shed light, because I know, you know, you're running on time. You're busy, man. We appreciate your time coming. But I can't let us not talk about the Brooklyn Bank.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
absolutely.
My audience always sees me in the hoodies. I love what the Brooklyn Bank stands for. Let's talk about the Brooklyn Bank and talk about the event that you have coming up on Juneteenth.
All right, cool. The Brooklyn Bank is, first of all, about 2016, I acquired this building that used to be a bank. And I was just like, yo, what could I do with this building? To kind of give back, you know, because at the end of the day, you could only eat to make yourself full. You can't just keep eating just for the sake of being greedy. So it was super important for me to find a way to give back, and the best way to give back is to educate people, you know, teach people how to fish.
Right.
So I started this nonprofit organization. Which is focused on financial literacy, which is focused on financial education for us, the people of color, the people who don't learn about stocks, crypto, real estate, equity, and all that other
Everything.
Stuff because they don't teach that in the schools in the hood.
Mm.
And our parents don't know it, so they can't pass it down, right? So I'm just trying to, you know, make that wealth gap a little smaller. So we have this beautiful building where we teach people. Matt has come out several times.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
It's beautiful.
You've come out.
Oh yeah. Know,
basically, put people on. And this Juneteenth, what we're doing this Juneteenth is, instead of just doing like, you know, bringing one person out at a time, we're bringing a whole crew out. We have Matt come in. I think I kind of talked you into coming a little earlier.
Yes, you did. You talked me into it. You know, the Rants and Gyms exact, will be there. The gym and the rant. The rant and the gym.
The gym and the rant. The rant and the gym. Yo.
So, this one. So on Juneteenth, we're going to be at the King's Theater.
In Brooklyn.
We have Ransom Jim, EYL, Ash Cash, Julian Gordon, The Budgetista, mm-hmm. Aristotle Investments, Tall Guy Tycoon, The People CPA.
All my people. Everybody we already know, right?
Exactly. So this is going to be the biggest, but I think that's a coin phrase.
The biggest ever.
Exactly. But this is probably going to be, not probably, this is the largest financial education show or forum, the Black Money Forum that's ever happened in Brooklyn and probably in New York City. So look forward to seeing you, look forward to seeing the people come out and really get this education so they could win.
Yeah, so we're going to put the link in the description of this video, man, so that way you guys, and it's free.
Let's be clear.
If it's free, it's for me, too. You know, we was having that conversation.
We know MG loves free. I love some free shit. Free.com is his middle name.
Yes, I'm going to get that on a shirt. If it's free, it's for me.
If y'all saw the accommodations that we got up here, we in here eating chicken wings and fries. But when he was filming in Atlanta, we had shrimp and grits, waffles. But we ain't going to get into that. I ain't going to hold you up.
Don't blame me for that. Somebody's getting a little pissed off.
But we will say, anytime it's free, let's get back to the moment. Anytime it's free, I think that it's important that people come out and support these events. You named a lot of heavy hitters, and I know that they're going to give such great information and advice about financial literacy. And I think we can always push the needles together, and that's why I said yes for Juneteenth, because I think that we have to start giving. I know we have to start giving back, and the best way to give is to give your time and to give your knowledge.
Absolutely. So, I agree.
I'm excited for this event.
Nah, that's going to be a dope event. Yeah. Jude, tell the people how to find you.
You can catch me on IG, Mr. Jude Bernard, judebernard.com, the Brooklyn Bank IG or the Brooklyn Bank website, or blackmoneyforum.com. So,
look, there you guys have it. Blackmoneyforum.com.
Yeah, BMF.
I see it.
Blackmoneyforum.com. Make sure you guys tap into that, because this is going to be a phenomenal event. Ransom Gems Live will be there along with our other brothers and sisters teaching our community for free the game of financial literacy. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys there. Jude, thank you for your time. And this is going to be your opportunity to say your license number, because this is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And this is Kiana Watson, license number 317576, better known as Broker Extraordinaire. Go ahead.
This is Jude Bernard, General Contractor, 618-1919, Real Estate Broker, NBS 274-38241.
There you have it, y'all.
And thank you guys for tuning in to another incredible episode of the Rants and Gems Show.
Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.